All right, we're going to get started on the next panel. The title is Recent Developments in Post-Petition DIP Financing, and it's going to cover DIP fees and lien scope and priming and adequate protection, all the things that I'm sure come up in basically every single debtor case over a certain size that we all work in. We have a great panel for this. Starting on the far left, we have Judge Lee Morris, who's up in the Northern District of Texas. And I noticed we are 5 days away from his fifth year anniversary. So I'm assuming we're going to have a party. Or was that last night?
You're hosting.
Oh, at my house, I could fit at least 20 of you. So prior to his appointment, Judge Morris was a shareholder at Munch Hart, where he focused on disputes that were mostly commercial in nature, having represented debtors, trustees, lenders, lender groups, creditor committees, et cetera. And I do note he had a case with us when I was at the AG's office. And so I think he's also proven himself to be a very patient man. He's a member of the American Bankruptcy Institute, master of the Honorable John C. Ford American Inns of Court, a life fellow of the Dallas Bar Foundation. So thank you, Judge Morris. To my immediate left is Kelly Norfleet. She's a partner at Haynes & Boone. She represents clients in connection with business bankruptcy, insolvency law, and related litigation, financing, dispositions, and other restructuring transactions. And she, of course, handles in-court and out-of-court restructurings for clients in the oil and gas area, oil field services, and electric power sectors, as well as in the engineering and construction, technology, and aviation industries. A lot of very niche industries there. And in the middle, we have Gabe Morgan, who's a partner at Weil Gottschall in the restructuring department. His practice covers all aspects of domestic international corporate restructuring, including Chapter 11s, out-of-court restructurings, liability management and distress lending, investment acquisitions. And I noticed that he also was on that Serta Simmons case. I'm starting to think that was a big case. He also worked on Vivis Inc. and Utex Industries and B&G Crane Services, so please join me in welcoming our panel.
Thank you.
All right. Well, good morning. Thank you for having us. It's a real pleasure for all of us to be here, and we're actually really impressed at the number of folks who are here and made it out of last night's festivities. So as you all heard probably a little bit yesterday in connection with the ethics panel, secured parties and prospective DIP lenders have continued to sort of press the envelope in pursuing protections and value enhancing / loss mitigating terms and DIP financing. So Gabe, Kelly, and I are going to briefly touch on some of the contemporary case outcomes involving some of the typical asks give you all a sense of where things are trending. It's kind of funny, Judge Davis came up right before this panel started and he said, well, this, I've looked through the materials and it looks like all the same stuff that we had 20 years ago. It's just being repackaged, and it's kind of funny. It sort of is, but we still have new cases and new trends. So specifically what we're going to talk to you all a little bit about today are some DIP transactions that include pre-planned releases for equity holders proposing to provide DIP financing. Roll-ups, you've probably heard a lot about roll-ups, I think, throughout the conference so far, but we're also going to talk about some specific case examples on roll-ups and roll-up features. Strategic refinancing of existing DIPs to eliminate existing DIP lender control. Equity-linked features in DIP financing, and then finally an interplay of position-enhancing transactions and DIP financings. We'd also like to note that the written materials that were provided for this segment, I'll just say, are fantastic. I can take zero credit for any of it. And we would like to first give a shout out to Hillary James and Alex Cohen of Weil, who were instrumental in putting together the written materials for today's presentation. So please do take a look at it, because it's really fabulous stuff. So let's get going, and we're going to start off with pre-plan releases. Pre-plan releases sought by equity holders in connection with offering up a DIP financing by an equity player. Obviously, at least you would think, this is in a situation where no alternative DIP financing sources are in play. or at least theoretically none willing to provide financing on less onerous terms.